So here in part three of the heaven and hell teaching, and this will be the last installment of this on this particular subject, we talked last night about the nature of things and how it figures into the mechanics of our salvation. We understand the difference that those who die in Adam, their spirits are in bondage to their bodies, and their spirits, as slaves to the body through its desires, have to go where the body goes. So if the body, the physical part, goes into the physical grave, hell, then the spiritual part has to go into the prison of spirits. If you die in union with Adam, and that's what a soul is a union, then you have to go where that union is. No choice. No slave has a choice but to obey its master. And if sin is your master, that's what happens. But those who die in Christ, if you die in faith of Christ, then you have a promise that your body will be redeemed, right? The resurrection. And because you have this promise, your spirit can be free now. Because if the body is free, then the spirit is free. And the spirit can go to be in those heavenly realms with Jesus while your body goes and waits in the ground for the resurrection. So your body will go into that hell, but your spirit will not. So that when the body is destroyed in the grave, the sin nature, that union, dies with it. But for those who die in Adam, the sin nature has something eternal to grasp onto if your body's destroyed in the grave, doesn't it? It has your spirit in the prison of spirits. And this is how Jesus trading his body for your body changes you. This is why spiritually Jesus was God. He didn't have to be a man in that way. He had to be a man according to the flesh. He had to have a body, born as a man, born of a woman, born under law. He had to be a man. And it is a man who is accepted by God. Death could not hold him. Death cannot hold an innocent man. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus, in spite of being a sin offering for you, is still innocent. And if death cannot hold Jesus, then death cannot hold those who belong to Jesus. And that is the hope of our gospel. Everybody with me on that? That's just kind of a short, succinct idea of the mechanics of what happens. So we need to go over a few things. How does Jesus' death and resurrection restore our souls? The law prescribed death as a penalty for sin. Jesus came in the form of flesh from heaven, but he himself was not a sinner. He was not born of Adam, but of God. He is God by spirit, but man by flesh. As a man, he was the only man ever born of God, the only begotten of God. And that's what this means. This was the joining of man to God. It is the making of a new man or a new soul, a new union. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, Jesus. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's important to understand that Jesus, before he took on the image of a man, he was the Word of God. He wasn't known as the Son of God until he became the only begotten of God. In other words, the only man God ever begot. And a lot of people don't understand that. The Word, and that's what it tells us in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh. So Jesus coming in the form of the man was the way God had decided to redeem man to himself. It is because Jesus was both God and man that those of us who receive him can now be born of God and be true sons after the Spirit and not just fleshly as Adam was. This is how we as men are made partakers of the divine nature. This is how we can have the Holy Spirit in us now. Remember where Jesus told his disciples, he was with you and he will be in you. Well, the new man brought us more than the old man ever had, John 1:12. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. And that is the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, in other words, physical, nor of the will of the flesh, the will of anybody physical, nor the will of a man, but of God. Born of heaven, born of above. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So as partakers of this divine nature, we can now be joined to God in a way Adam never was. And this you can see how Adam was only a figure of he who was to come. But when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Get it? Adoption out of Adam, out of the flesh, and into the Spirit. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh, Jesus, flesh of a man, right? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, and so making peace. Wow. By joining himself to flesh, he has made one new man. And that's the image we're in now instead of Adam. That's where we're going. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So, the question becomes one of union. That's what the soul is, right? A union. With whom are you unified, or with whom do you identify? Adam in sin, or Christ in righteousness? To be united with Christ is to be united in his death, and so his resurrection from the dead bodily. He died bodily to sin for you. So he was raised from the dead bodily for you. Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, if you die in union with Adam's soul, the sin nature, this is what happens. Your spirit remains bound to the sin nature or the soul of Adam. That's who you're in union with. That's who you're identified with. The sin nature will continue as long as it has a host. The body of sin may be destroyed in the grave, also called hell, the corruption of the mortal body, but the spirit, that immortal part of you, will continue on in the prison of spirits or spiritual hell to await judgment. Hell is dual, physical and spiritual, because you're both physical and spiritual. The sin nature will be bound to your spirit forever in that case. Its eternal destruction is the lake of fire. It's an everlasting and continuing destruction. If, however, you lay down your life with Christ, in other words, you don't have it taken from you, right? You lay it down, as Jesus did. See, that's who you're identifying with when you do that, right? That's who you're in union with when you do that. If you lay down your life with Christ now through faith, then your spirit is free from the soul of Adam because of Jesus' death for your part and the hope of the resurrection. Jesus condemned sin in the body. He condemned sin in the flesh. So that, guess what? When the flesh dies, the sin nature dies with it. That's why your spirit is with him, so that can happen. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Get it? When the body does actually die, your sin nature will die with it, destroyed in the grave. That old man or union of sin, that sin nature, that soul of Adam, will be condemned with your body and not your spirit. Then the resurrection of your body, you can be redeemed clean from the nature that was attached to it. Then both body and spirit are joined free of Adam's soul, because your spirit's already there in heaven, right? In the heavenly realms with Christ. Paradise. See, that's your faith. Right now, you consider that to be so. You consider your spirit to be alive with Christ and your body to be buried with Christ. And you will reckon that way until it becomes true, until your spirit actually goes to be with Jesus and your body actually goes in the ground. Then both body and spirit are joined free of Adam's soul of sin and joined clean in the new man, Christ. This is our gospel. Matthew 10:28. Fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So fear not them which, you know, this tells you that both body and soul, not spirit, both body and soul will be destroyed in hell. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, that union, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Romans 6:3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? See, that baptism into death is our way of what? Identifying with Jesus, right? Being in union with Jesus. Verse 4, therefore we're buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in a newness of life. All of this, have you noticed this, is about you not just knowing what the truth is, but it's identifying with Jesus. It's about being in union with Jesus. A new soul. That's the whole point. And that starts now. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin, right? If you lay down your life with Christ, you'll find it again on the other side of death. When you die, your spirit will go to be with him, to wait for his second coming. And you will come back with him to get your body. And it will be redeemed through the resurrection. And you're sharing a resurrection like Jesus's. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's how we look at it now, isn't it? We reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. We count the body to be dead, and we count the spirit to be alive. This, again, is our union with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now that he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given to us the earnest of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we're always confident knowing this, that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's what we're looking for, right? When we're in heaven with Jesus, our spirits come back with him to get our bodies at his second coming. For this the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven in a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. However, if you do not lay down your life here with Christ, but instead have your life taken from you, you will die in your sins. And that is in union with Adam, body and spirit together in corruption. Those who are living in the fear of death are living, identifying with Adam, not Christ. Right? Together in a corrupt soul. The sin nature will not be destroyed in the physical grave with your body. Rather, it will be carried on attached to your spirit till it is destroyed in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the spirit do mortify, in other words, put to death, the deeds of the body, you shall live. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. All of this comes down to this point. Give your life to Christ and die with him to sin now, here, through faith. So your faith will be fulfilled when your body actually dies. So that what you have by faith will become the reality of your life. Do not wait for your carnal life to be taken from you. Because without Christ in your life, then you just die. You're left with Adam, and that's who you identify with. The sin nature will cling to your spirit in hell. And that will bring you into the judgment as you die for your sins. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. I'm not going to read all of those judgment verses, but I want to leave y'all with this note. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's what Jesus said. You must identify with Christ, not Adam. In identifying with Christ, it's always about faith. See, Jesus trusted his Father. Jesus walked as a man would have to, by faith. To identify with Jesus, you must be a person of faith. You must, as it says in Hebrews, believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you must also understand that only Jesus is the new man. There is no other path. There is no other name. There is no other way. You get there through Jesus, or you don't get there. Just like you couldn't have entered this world without Adam, you cannot enter that world without Christ. You could not be physically here except through Adam as your father. You could not be spiritually there apart from Christ. That's what he means, that he is the door. Every bit as much as Adam, that was the door to get you into this life. And as you've identified with Adam in his sin and in his corruption and in his failures and in his weakness and in all of this suffering, you must now identify with Christ. And those are things, you know, those aren't things of fear. Those are things of faith. Identify with him because you have no strength of yourself. It's his faith. It's his strength. Because you have no righteousness of your own, it's his righteousness. Because you have no standing with God apart from Christ, it's his standing with God. See, you must identify with him. You must be in union with him. You must become a new soul. You must become a new man. Can you see the difference? And it all comes down to this. It's going to be how you understand what this gospel is about. How you understand what a soul is. How you understand that what the salvation of your soul means. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Our next class is going to be about the resurrection of the dead, which is the hope of our gospel. I pray that you tune in to that one. Hopefully that'll be tomorrow night. God bless you. Y'all have a good night and go with God.